D. Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Derek Mason and Adam Vingan here with you. Willie Donick has taken off. Not literally. The plane hasn't left, hopefully. But he is on the way to the plane, where the Predators will start a two-game road trip tomorrow night against the Dallas Stars. So it's just me and Derek for the rest of the program. And joining us on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, is President and CEO of the Nashville Sports Council, Scott Ramsey. Scott, thank you so much for joining us today. Let's talk a little Transperfect Music City Bowl, Iowa versus Missouri. What excites you most about this matchup at Nissan Stadium later this month?
I think a couple things, Adam. First of all, thanks for having me on, guys. And, man, you guys got the whole place yourself here without Willie.
He does take up a lot of room.
Feeling all that air time.
We are spreading out.
I think every year is different, Adam. You know, I mean, it's our 27th year, and this year in particular, I think we got two teams that are excited about being here specifically. You know, I think with the new playoff model and things like that, and we all saw it. I mean, there was just a lot of people that felt like they should have been included, should have been on the doorstep. You know, and then from our seat, you go ahead and invite them and start kind of the marketing of your bowl game, and there's still that residual kind of feel. These two teams, hey, they combined to win 17 games in the SEC and the Big Ten this year. Certainly Missouri now has won, 20 games in 2 years, so they're on the rise, and both are drivable here. You know, I think the one thing this year is I think we're going to have a great game on the field. I think both teams are really coming in here with we're going to see some great football from the two power conferences, and we'll work hard to make it a great environment for the players, and I know our city's a star for all the fans that will come.
Scott, I know that this was supposed to be the matchup in the Music City Bowl in 2020. Of course, it was canceled because of the COVID-19 pandemic. So how important was it for you to be able to give these teams and their fans an opportunity at a redo, so to speak, and having them come and play in this game?
Yeah, you know, it was. I try to forget that a series of events.
Yes, we all do.
In our city. You know, you remember, Adam, that was a couple days after. Not only was the season abbreviated, there weren't going to be any fans in the stands, but it was a couple days after our downtown bombing on 2nd mm-hmm. Avenue. So a lot of things to forget about that year. But, it's the first time we've had Missouri. I know they played, Vanderbilt, but more importantly, the first time we've been here. And I think one of the missions of the bowl from a tourism standpoint has been to expose our city to fan bases that don't normally come. Certainly from an attendance standpoint, we've seen higher attendance at our game where we've had some of the local alumni bases that are prominent in Nashville really kind of, you know, increase the sales. Here, I think we're going to see a heavy percentage of out-of-towners in the stands because both don't have a really large alumni base here. So I think we're going to see a lot of out-of-town travel. We're on Monday. We're the only bowl game on. We lead into Monday Night Football. They got the weekend to travel in. And I'm really excited about kind of seeing how they turn out. So it is a good kind of mulligan, if you will, for the game from the COVID year. But more importantly, I think we're excited about showcasing the city and the two teams on December 30th.
Scott Ramsey, President and CEO of Nashville Sports Council, joining us on DVD. Scott, I know that you and your council submitted a bid to host the FCS National Championship Games in 2026 and 2027. What is the status of those bids, and where do you think your bid stands out among the other contenders?
Well, Adam, that was a softball question. I think our bid stands out among all of them. I think Derek could have knocked that one out of the park for me, I think. But, I always feel good about Nashville bidding, and I've always been proud of our city and putting it up against everybody else. And it's an event that I really think our city's going to be captivated with should we be lucky enough to land it. Hopefully we'll know. I'm hoping in the next few days so we can start planning in preparation for this year's event in Frisco, if we're lucky enough to host it next year to start kind of that one-year planning cycle and for the 2 years that we bid on it. You know, I think a couple things on that. One, it really fits a quiet weekend in our town right after New Year's Day, the New Year's Eve party. Monday night, prime time, ESPN, it took the CFP National Championship spot. It's a set of fans from the Dakotas and Montana and Idaho that are prominent. Certainly, they're not the only teams, but they're they're the dominant teams historically in FCS in recent years. And, man, they've been traveling at big numbers. I've been selling out Frisco at 20,000 for the last 10 or 15 years. And we really think we can elevate the event if we get the opportunity to host it with all we have here in Music City. With the renovated stadium at Vanderbilt, the size is perfect, 30, 35,000. You know, I think we can up the attendance a little bit and certainly infuse the Music City style. It's also a national championship. You know, I mean, we had the Women's Final Four. We had the U.S. Women's Golf Amateur at the golf club. But this will only be our third national championship to host in the 30 years I've been here. So that's a real exciting opportunity to be able to do it. And fingers crossed that we get some good news here in the next hopefully few days.
We'll talk with Scott Ramsey, President and CEO of the National Sports Council. Now, Scott, each year when you have these bowl games, you try to make it a little bit different and a little bit better for the next incoming, not just team, but their fan base. So what new things should the fan base expect that you probably didn't do last year? And then obviously, I know probably one of the big things the fan base wants to know, since they're doing construction around the stadium, the parking and stuff like that. So, you know, what about those things?
I think, Derek, we're in a time period with the bowls, and, mm-hmm. and I know it's been talked about on your show as well, but, you know, kind of where does it go? And I think this year, you know, one of the things that we're seeing, even though we had Iowa 2 years ago, we've never had Missouri. I think some of the feedback we get from the players is they really like our schedule. You know, mm-hmm. we do a lot of stuff at the hotel forum and the player hospitality room, put a lot of things in there, a lot of food, a lot of games, a lot of hangout. We do, you know, all kinds of events for the players at the now Category 10. We do the bands on the street for the fans, the alumni parties. But you know what? We've kind of got a city that Broadway kind of carries that piece. Mm-hmm. And we're pretty fortunate. We don't have to kind of artificially try to create something to drive fans to. And I think now where we are with this year and next year, before everything kind of gets reset, with the transfer portal, I think we're going to see a lot of Iowa players that weren't here 2 years ago with the turnover in the rosters and everything. So, you know, I think it'll be interesting to see kind of how all the bowls kind of stage events. But we're going to do it just like we have in the past and hopefully balance it out between player activities, administrators. We do a songwriter event at the Grand Ole Opry House, which is pretty special. And then the fans, we roll out the night before with the parties on Broadway. So, you know, kick off on Monday with a party. Parking, yeah, it's tough. I mean, we all know that. We've lived here. The nice thing is you got two fan bases and aren't used to, Derek, to just parking there in Lot A. Exactly. You know, so they're going to have to adjust anyway. And I think most of them will push downtown like the Titans plan. We'll duplicate that, run shuttles, and hopefully we'll see a lot of people walking over the pedestrian bridge.
Now, what is the latest on the stadium? Is there anything new you can tell us as far as the progress of the stadium?
No, I can't. I mean, that's kind of over there on the Titans construction side and all that. I will tell you, though, that we continue to kind of think about what events can we pursue long-term. I say long-term in the next three to 7 years. When the stadium is complete. From the college football standpoint, I think, you know, a lot of questions about the playoffs and championship game, yes, is the answer. I think where we are now is we're waiting to see what the postseason of college football looks like in 2026. I think that's up in the air significantly. You know, are they going to stay on campus for games? Or are they going to maybe go to more campus games? Are they going to go to less? Are they going to go to 12, 14, 16 teams? Are they going to stay in bowl games for semis and quarterfinals? Or are they going to go to, you know, neutral sites? And are they going to bid those out? So we're trying to be prepared to be very reactive and aggressive to promote Nashville, to insert ourselves somewhere in that system whenever that system is designed and allowing for us to kind of pursue things. So we're kind of in a wait and see there a little bit, but certainly excited. With the new stadium's really opening up a lot of doors for us, and we're optimistic that we'll have some good opportunities.
Scott, I have to imagine whenever somebody comes up to you and talks about the new stadium, they're clamoring for a specific event. You mentioned the college football playoff. I'm sure people are talking Super Bowl, Final Four. As a wrestling fan, I would love WrestleMania. I know SummerSlam has been here. I would love WrestleMania. When you talk to people about which events could come to the new stadium, which ones do you hear most?
Yeah, all those. Adam, you kind of hit the big four, really. I think that the covered stadium really opens that door for us that we couldn't bid on before. Let's take the men's Final Four. I mean, they're bid out through 2031 now. So, you know, some of that is also kind of tempering a little people's expectation of timing. You know, some of these big events like that, you need 2 and 3 and 4 years to A, plan, fundraise, organize, and get everything in line, because it is a city job to kind of pull together. And you start thinking about needing a convention center for 14 straight days. You need 14, 15,000 hotel rooms all booked. You got transportation, security plans, facility plans, hospitality. So when these massive events take multiple years to A, get in the queue to host, you know, because you're also on the timeline of the rights holder, whether it's the NFL, the NCAA, the CFP, WWE, or whatever. So, you know, once you're in the queue, then you've got to start, you know, kind of the planning cycle. So, you know, I think when you start looking out to the late 20s and early 30s, we feel like we're lined up pretty well for that. I think the other thing is to kind of always keep in mind when you talk about it is also the East Bank development, because you've got to kind of sync that up. And you don't want to host the Super Bowl or WrestleMania or Final Four with a bunch of cranes between the river and the new stadium, you know, because you're going to need that space for media compounds, corporate hospitality compounds. So, you know, hopefully those things will kind of line up to where we'll be able to kind of time those out when we're looking at those big events.
Scott Ramsey, president and CEO of Nashville Sports Council, joining us here on DVD. The Transperfect Music City Bowl, Iowa versus Missouri, is on Monday, December 30th at Nissan Stadium. Scott, thank you so much for joining us. It was great to catch up. We'll talk soon.
You're welcome, guys. Have a good one.
You as well. Scott Ramsey, president and CEO of Nashville Sports Council, joining us on DVD. I would love a WrestleMania. I was not here for SummerSlam, unfortunately, which was at Nissan Stadium a couple of years ago. I was out of town. I've always wanted to go to WrestleMania. So, Scott, if you're still listening, I think that should be first and foremost. I know Chase would be on board with that as well. 615-737-1025. Derek, unbeknownst to you,
yes,
you have received a promotion.
Oh, have I?
I am giving it to you. I have no authority to do so whatsoever. It's not at the station. So, Chase, if you're listening, don't worry. I'm not promoting Derek to program director or anything like that. But I have given you a promotion, and I will tell you what it is next. Derek Mason, Adam Bingen, 1025, 1063, The Game. D-Mace, Bingen, and Donick on 1025, 1063, The Game. Derek Mason, Adam Bingen here with you. Willie Donick off to Dallas with the Nashville Predators. They're back in action tomorrow night against the Stars. Puck drop at 7, pregame at 6, right here on 1025, 1063, The Game. So, Derek, I told you before the break, I've given you a promotion. I have no authority to do this, but I'm doing it anyway. I am giving you a promotion. I am naming you senior advisor to Titans owner Amy Adamstrunk. I've got the press release. It's got a nice pull quote about how you're a great ambassador to the franchise, one of the franchise's most beloved players. People are excited to have you back. You'll do a great job. All of those things. So this is what your job is, Derek. Mm-hmm. You, again, are the senior advisor to Titans owner Amy Adamstrunk. She is going to lean on you as she tries to pilot whatever the heck is going on with her football team, because it's not been going well. And she is all ears. So you can discuss with her role and what you want her role in this to be, how you want her to portray herself, or if you want her to recede into the background. Mm-hmm. You're going to be in charge of figuring out what happens with management, with Rand Carthon and Chad Brinker, and by extension the coaching staff with Brian Callahan, personnel decisions, all of those things. So I leave it to you. I'm going to play the role of Amy Adamstrunk. I'm not going to pretend to do a Southern accent. Mm-hmm. But she comes to you and she says, Derek, as my senior advisor, mm-hmm. I need your help in putting this proud franchise back on track. When you're coming up with your list, what's the first thing you're telling her?
First thing I would tell her is there has to be some stability. You know, if you believe in Rand Carthon and Brinkert and Callahan, then you need to you know, let that be known. And I would bring up examples of the Nashville Predators and how they are transparent and they are, you know, they make it be known. Listen, this is the this is what we're doing. You know, I know we're having a, you know, a bad moment here, but we're sticking with the process. We're going to allow the process to play out. Barry has talked about that, the process, the allowing it to play out. I'm not sure if, you know, she's willing to do that right now, but I would explain to her, you know, sometimes you have to go through some hard times in order to build your program the way it needs to be built. You know, the old adage, Rome wasn't built in a day. And it's true. You know, if you want to have success in this league or in professional sports, it's about building. And it's about, you know, now to an extent, you know, it's about going through those hard times and you know, being better from it afterwards. Now, listen, you're not going to wait 4 or 5 years for something to change, but you got to allow whatever the process they told you, whatever they said, hey, this is what needs to happen, allow them to work their process, allow them to sort of work their plan, their vision of what this team could look like. Don't, after 1 year, dump the program and say, let's start over, because if that's the case, then you're going to keep on dumping programs year after year after year based upon who says this or who doesn't say that or whatnot. So if these are the guys that you are looking if these are the guys you're looking to head your football team, give them an opportunity to do that. Give them an opportunity to an extent, but give them an opportunity to see the plan through. Because what happens is you keep on, this would be a revolving door. You don't like their plan, somebody else will yell or scream and say, and then you end up changing it again. Stick with something. In order, listen, what I found out through sports is sometimes it's worth going through the hard things. I've had a lot of time to reflect over my whole career. Those first three years, it was good that I went through that. Those were hard times, mentally, emotionally, everything. Those were hard times in the world of football. But I'm glad I went through it because it made me a better player on the other side of it. When you jump ship different guys because things are not going well right now, you're going to continue. It's going to continue to be a revolving door. So stick with it. Allow the plan to be played out. That's what I would tell her first, okay? Second, listen, that's not your quarterback. And I will point to her, every team, every organization that has their quarterback, the guy that they know is their quarterback, see where they are. And we can point down a line of a bunch of them. When you have your quarterback, you have at least 50% of your program all set and done. Because you can't operate in this league without a quarterback. But when you have a quarterback, look at what Kansas City's doing. They win in 1-point games. They don't have much. Kansas City doesn't have, outside of Jones and Kelce, they don't have many marquee players at the top of their game. I look at, why am I forgetting his name now? D-Hop. D-Hop is a Hall of Famer, but he's no longer at the pinnacle of his game anymore. He still is a hell of a player, but he's not at the pinnacle. You gotta have those guys that are sort of projecting upward, and you need to start with them. So first, you need to go get you a quarterback. That's the first thing, and then you need to get somebody. And I believe Rand and those guys are the guys, but they need to really sit down and assess, like, just the roster. Period. Like, where are we going? Okay, if we do indeed get our quarterback, where are we as a team? Even if we get our quarterback, where are we as a team? Are we still a meddling team, or are we above average to a really good team? Which one are we? If we're still a meddling team, well, what needs to be the next sort of check mark? Well, we need to solidify our offensive line, because if we don't solidify our offensive line, our quarterback, even though he may be the guy, he's going to have a hard time. He's going to have a hard road to travel. He may be able to do it a la Joe Burrow, but it's going to be hard for him. So not only make sure you get you a quarterback, make sure you get you an offensive line that could protect him.
So your first step would be to emphasize stability.
Yes, emphasize stability.
There's been a lot of turnover in this organization in key roles over the past few years. Mm-hmm. So you would tell Amy Adams-Strunk to hold on for now to Rand Carthon and Chad Brinker.
Yes.
The second step would be to tell Amy Adams-Strunk that Will Levis is not your franchise quarterback.
Yes, I would tell him.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And I did, to your point about the Chiefs, I saw this, I believe, yesterday. There was a graphic. It was just what each team's record would be if you flipped the one-score games. The Chiefs are, what, 12-1, 11-1? They would be 2-11 if you just flipped the scores of the one-score games. So that speaks to what you were talking about with the quarterback. I mean, we all know it can change the fortunes of a franchise. Now, you did mention one thing, and you and we've talked about this a little bit, and Jared talked about this yesterday, that the difference between the Titans and the Predators right now, they're both in a bad way. But the Predators have been transparent, and they make their decision makers available to explain their decisions to the fans. If you're listening to this, you are probably a Predators fan who is very upset about what's been going on this season, and I don't blame you one iota. But Barry Trotz comes on this station for 25, 30 minutes every week, and Jared peppers him with questions that you want the answers to, and Barry Trotz answers the questions. When Alex Doherty of the Tennessean did a sit-down interview with Sean Henry that came out earlier this week. Sean Henry is the proxy to the ownership group, so he speaks on behalf of Bill Haslam and the rest of the ownership group. He's answering those questions. They aren't happy, but they are getting out there, and they are answering those questions. We don't hear from Amy Adams-Strunk unless it's in a team-affiliated space. You know, Rand Carthon, we've talked about this. Rand Carthon does not make himself available to reporters. When was the last time we heard from Rand Carthon? It was the interview. I mean, it was the interview that he did with the Tennessean after the Lions game. But the last time we heard from Rand Carthon in a news conference setting, I guess, would have been before the season.
I think it was July or August. Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
it was before the season.
It was before the season because I believe they are required to talk when the roster gets trimmed. Yes. I think they're around the combine and the draft, and I think they're required to talk when the roster gets cut down to 53. So that would have been in the summer. So we haven't heard from Rand Carthon. So I imagine, and you alluded to it, another step of your program is you need to get out there and you need to talk to the fans about what the heck is going on.
Okay, this is how I put it to you guys this morning. But before that, I'm going to say this. I get financial reports quarterly just to tell me, you know, how the stock market is, you know, how investments are going, yada, 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 whatever. And I enjoy looking at those things. I don't quite understand all of it, but if I don't understand, I can call my guy and he can sort of explain what's going on. But the fact that they send the quarterly reports and everything, they give a detailed sort of what's going on, that makes me feel like, okay, they're keeping me aware of what's going on in the market and everything. So now if I want to know something outside of that, I can call him every week if I want to. He'd pick up the phone and we'd talk. He has no problem with that. But at least they are giving me their quarterly report on how your finances are doing and whatnot. Why isn't the Titans, and I'm not asking for them to do what Barry does, come on every week, you know, with Jared or on this station. I'm not asking for that. But at least give your fan base a quarterly report, okay, of how this team doing. Because what the Predators are doing is they're depositing. You get what I'm saying, people? They're depositing into you, the fan base. You may not like where the team is at now. Hell, I don't like it. Barry doesn't like it. But he's depositing. And the deposit is he gets on every week and he tells you about the organization. He tells you where they're at. He makes you, even though you're upset that the team is not winning, he says something in there that makes you feel, okay, it's going to be all right. Barry's going to get it together. All right, that's a deposit he's putting into the fan base because he knows, man, it may get lean the rest of this season. And if I'm depositing into the fan base, they're going to stick with me a little bit longer. Titans, y'all are doing nothing but withdrawing. That's all y'all are doing. Y'all are withdrawing. Y'all asking people to pay for stadiums. Y'all asking people to continue to come to the games. Y'all are taking from your fan base. You're not giving to your fan base. Look at what the Predators are doing. Deposit into your fan base, and the deposit would be put Rand out there quarterly so he can at least sort of kill some of the angst with the fan base, because right now they are not even angry at you no more, and that is bad. That is bad. They're not even mad anymore. That's not it. The whole saying is, listen, if the coach ain't yelling and screaming at you, you need to worry. Because now he's done. He done forgot about you. He see you not even getting it anymore. So he's moved on to the next person. That's what the fan base is doing. They're not mad anymore. They're not. So you don't have to worry about the fan base being mad at you. They're not. They're just fed up. And they're just like, whatever. It was evident last weekend, Titans, when we do our show, which is usually packed. It was at the beginning of the season because there were high hopes. Packed.
The pregame show.
The pregame show. The award-winning pregame show. Myself, Jared, and Chris. It was packed. But now, ain't nobody showing up. They're telling you. Why? Because y'all are taking from them. Y'all are not giving them anything. So deposit into this fan base first and then start asking for stuff back. Y'all are building a new stadium and y'all asking for that money. But y'all are not doing the things that is going to deposit into the fan base.
Randy on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, Derek, you're fired. We're going to start our stability plan next year with an experienced GM.
Hold on.
Hand him the keys. Uh-huh. Send Amy on a 2-year cruise around the world. Then make Jared her senior advisor and Willie as president of Common Sense.
Here's the thing. And this is sort of the narrative that has been painted. And I've heard it on our airwaves, and I think it's completely wrong. Y'all act as if Amy has been meddling this whole time. She hasn't. She's made two decisions, okay? Now, albeit we can look and say they probably were bad decisions looking back at it now, but they were bad decisions when they were actually made, not that it was an actual bad decision, because many people felt that she should have waited to after the season with Robinson. And I'm not sure if many people think Vrabel was a bad decision, but I'm gonna say that's two, okay? She's made two decisions. Wisenhunt needed to be fired, okay? So if y'all want to say, oh, she started meddling with Wisenhunt, hell, he needed to be fired, and y'all knew it, okay? All right, so you move down. And then the malarkey thing. Hey, listen, John Robinson, that was a John Robinson issue. He didn't want malarkey as his head coach. And the owner said, you know what? You are running the team. You're my GM. Hey, go. If you feel he needs to be fired, you fire him. So, again, how many times, where is this narrative that Amy is always meddling in things? Damn it, stop that crap. Because the more and more you say it, just like damn politicians, the more and more they tell a lie, y'all tend to believe the lie. Stop believing the lie. It's a lie. She hasn't been meddling like that. You want to see a meddling owner? Go over to Dallas. That's a meddling owner. That's an owner that sticks his hands in everything. Amy has made a few decisions here and there. You may not like the decisions. I get that. But that doesn't mean she's meddling. So please stop with that narrative, people. Okay? But, again, okay. And then, so they're saying, well, get some competent football people. Who is a competent football player? Who is a competent football person? I want our great listeners that listen to us or Jared or Big Joe and Chase or the morning show with Rex and Robbie. Call in here or text and tell me who would be a great football guy. Just give them to me. Give me all of them. And I'll look at them, okay? She found the best guy for the best job. Y'all act as if Rand Carthon just woke up one day and said, hey, I want to be a GM. I have no football experience or whatnot. I want to be a GM. Can I throw my hat in the ring? And Amy said, you know what? Because I made so many damn bad decisions. Rand, you're the GM when you have no experience at player personnel or anything else. Stop with the lie, people. Stop with it. Stop believing that lie. You may not like Rand Carthon and what he's doing, but to say he's not qualified, damn it, that's a lie, okay? It is a damn lie, and stop believing it, all right? Now, if you want her to just hire somebody else, just say that, but don't say bring in some competent football people. Y'all don't know what a football person is if they fell in your lap. That's what I'm saying. Stop believing a lie. If you want to change, just say that. But don't say, oh, bring in a real. Well, what is a real football player? Because the last I checked, Ram was on some really good he was in some really good organizations before he got here to Nashville. So, again, where is, you know, you're saying, well, get a real football guy in there. Ram's not a real football guy because you may not like the moves that he's made. Just say you don't like the moves that he's made. Don't say he's not a real football guy. That is disingenuous because you don't know the job that he has to do. Hell, you don't know the job. And frankly, for that matter, anybody that is saying that, they don't know the job that they have to do to sit here and say, get a real football guy in here. Now, if you say, just get another GM, okay, I'm good with that. And the head coach, I'm good with that. But don't throw out this narrative that, oh, he's not a football guy. Stop it. Because it's a lie.
615-737-1025. You heard Derek. 615-737-1025. We'll do that next. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025, 1063, The Game. D. Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025, 1063, The Game. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. One text on our text line from Tyler says, Derek's rant is my biggest problem with what Jared has been saying. I actually fully agree with him that they need to clean house in the front office, but not because I think Carthon isn't a football guy. It's because I think Rand probably got a job a little too early. It wasn't quite ready to go from number four in the pecking order to number one. And I think Amy really screwed up the chain of command with how she's handled him and Chad Brinker. It has nothing to do with his qualifications as a football guy. I think the system is broken and Rand isn't ready for the job yet.
Again, how do you know Rand's not ready for the job yet? He's only been in it really. Okay, I'm going to give you the 2 years. I would tend to say because of the whole thing with Vrabel and he and Vrabel is probably really, you know, a season and a half or just really this season for that matter. Listen, if y'all and listen, you can have your opinion. I'm just talking about the lie that is being spewed that he's not a football guy. I even told the guys, listen, if you want to fire him, if you don't like him because of the moves he's made, then okay. But don't sit here because that's every GM. Every GM is not going to make, you know, 100% of the moves 100% of the time. There's going to be more times than not they're failing rather than, you know, going out there and hitting on individuals. It's just that if you hit on the right guy, it's easier to miss on some other guys when you hit on that right guy. And we all tend to gear toward that quarterback as being the right guy. If you hit on the quarterback, then you can miss on some of the other players around you. But again, if you are just saying that, okay, Rand Carthon missed on, you know, this guy or that guy, then okay. But don't sit here and say, well, he's not a football guy. Hire real football guys. What are real football guys? How do they look? What do they smell like? What do they say? I don't know. Do they got a lot of hair? Do they have no hair? What does a football guy look like? Okay, that's all I'm saying. And I've said, if you want to fire him, then okay, fire him. I'm not. It's not my problem if you want to fire him. My thing was stop with the lie of one, that Amy's always meddling because she's not, and then two, that Rand is not a football guy. That's all I'm saying. But if you want to say, just fire him and let's start all over where you need to fire the head coach too. Because if you don't fire the head coach and you fire the GM and keep the head coach, you're going to end up running into the same problem once again.
Randy on our text line mentioned something and then we'll get to our phone line. Randy mentions that on a serious note, fans are sort of left to their own devices when it comes to determining whether Rand Carthon is or is not a good GM because he doesn't communicate with the fans. And that is the catch 22. If Rand Carthon does not want to address reporters, and by addressing reporters, he's really addressing all of you. If he doesn't want to do that, that's his prerogative. But we then have to fill in the blanks ourselves. And it comes up, and then the things that we talk about on the station, those come up because we don't hear from Rand Carthon. You know, the interview he did with the Tennessean, which was in print, the about after the after the Lions game with the ball now bouncing our way. We didn't hear the tone. We didn't hear the, you know, it did not do him any favors. But Wes is on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Wes, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
Oh, good afternoon, guys. I've got a question for D-Mate, it's a question for Adam, and then a question that I would like for y'all to answer together. Is that okay?
Sure. Yeah, go for it.
All right. So, Derek, I'm going to start with you first. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me what Callahan's job is, and can you tell me what Rand Carthon's job is?
Callahan's job is to coach the team. Rand Carthon's job is to build the team that Brian Callahan can then coach. You tell me, Brian, what you need in regards to the team, players, whatnot, and I will make sure I go out there and get those type players. That's sort of a condensed version. I know it's probably a little bit more detailed than that, but just to kind of
that's
quickly
actually
get through.
Perfect. That's exactly what mm-hmm. I was looking for. And then Adam, what is Burnett's job and what is Barry Trotz's job?
Andrew Burnett is the head coach of the Nashville Predators, and it's his job to get the best out of the players that Barry Trotz, who is the general manager, it's Burnett's job to get the most out of the players that Trotz brings in.
Okay, so with that being said, then if y'all could collectively tell me, why is everybody saying fire Rand Carthon, but they're not saying fire Barry Trotz, and they're wanting Burnett's job? Like, I can't understand the two. So if y'all could just help me bridge that gap, I'd greatly appreciate it.
That was a great question.
That's a good question, Wes. And we'll see if we can answer it with the time allotted. So
you want me to go first or you want to go first?
I'll take a stab at it. So, well, part of it is where the respective teams are. The Titans have been a bottom-of-the-barrel franchise now for a few years. Since they fired John Robinson, they have been the second-worst team in the NFL, I believe. I believe the Carolina Panthers are the only team worse over that span. You know, they haven't made the playoffs in a few years. And look, there are some similarities. They both GM spent a lot of money in free agency. I don't include Barry Trotz in this, actually. This is more of a David Poyle thing. Mm-hmm. But the Predators did have a run recently where their first-round picks did not turn into anything. Anything that's still on the roster. Dante Fabro, Philip Tomasino, Yaroslav Askarov, Eli Tolvanen. You know, that's a David Poyle issue. That's not a Barry Trotz issue. I mean, I do think that it helps that people around here adore Barry Trotz. Mm-hmm. He's, you know, I think that buys him some goodwill. And it buys him goodwill that Barry Trotz is accessible and transparent, which Rand Carthon is not.
And I think that's the only thing.
And the Predators made the playoffs last
year. I think that's the only thing. Because people still argue about the Predators. They're still peeved that they can't get past the first round. That's all we heard when they lost in the first round. See, they can't get past the first round.
The Predators haven't won a playoff round in 6 years, and I think it's going to be seven because I don't think they're making the playoffs.
Exactly. So it was like they don't get past the first round, whether it's Poyle or Barry. So that was an argument, period. My thing is, and I will continue to say this, Barry is depositing. That franchise is depositing. The Titans are not. When you don't send Rand Carthon out there to talk after the trade deadline, when you don't send Rand Carthon out there to talk when there's a lot of sort of instability with your quarterback, you know, when you don't sort of douse some of the flames out there, this is what ends up happening. Barry is depositing into the bank for your good graces. And everybody's giving it to him. They may be mad again. They're upset. I get it. But they're believing in Barry. Why? Because he gives them a message every week. Like, listen, I'm going to tell you what's going on. I'm going to give it to you from the heart. I'm going to tell you, whether you like it or not, or agree or disagree, this is how I feel as a GM. This is how I see it as a GM. That tends to buy you some good graces for a while. Not for the whole time, but at least hold some people back. Well, Rand Carthon isn't doing that, and the Titans are not doing that. I think that's one of the major problems, beside the winning, I get it. But I think that's one of the major problems. When things are done, we don't see the guy that is in position to talk. We don't see him talk. We see the head coach talk about things that we believe the not the owner, but the GM should address.
Yeah, and it's easy to be available when things are going well. Exactly. Now, things haven't really been going well for Rand Carthon as GM of the Titans. The win-loss record speaks for itself. But it's what you do in these certain times, like the Predators are going through right now. I mean, if Barry Trotz were to say to Jared, look, I'm not really interested in doing these weekly chats anymore. The team's not playing well. I don't want to do it. Like, what would we think about that? Like, we would be upset. We would accuse Barry of front running. Mm-hmm. And that's not what Barry Trotz does. Look, Barry Trotz, the decisions he's made this offseason have not worked out. I heard him on his interview with Jared yesterday saying, in hindsight, maybe he should have been a bit more creative in trying to get a center instead of, I mean, not saying that he would not have signed the players that he did, but maybe he would have tried to be more creative in getting a center because clearly that's an issue. Mm-hmm. But he said it. He said, yeah, I could have gone about this differently. And does it change the fact that the Predators are the worst team in the NHL? No, it doesn't. But he is getting out there and showing the fans that he hurts just as much as you all do, and it's not acceptable to him. And look, we learn about people. I think we learn most about people in times of crisis. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to, like, you know, exaggerate what the Predators and Titans are going through as a crisis. But, you know, things are not going well. So I do think that Rand Carthon has not done himself any favors and has not purchased any goodwill by being invisible while this franchise continues to descend into the Cumberland.
And contrary, on the flip side of that, Barry has.
Yes.
Whether you may look at it as, you know, he's offering up too much information, but he's being honest in his assessment of this team. You know, he talked about maybe, you know, the expectations were high, you know, and we have not come close to meeting those expectations. But what he stresses is that I feel just like you, the fans. I'm mad just like you. I'm upset just like you. But I can't present myself in a way that you presented because I'm running a franchise.
Right.
And, you know? I mean, and that's what people want from Rand Carthon, that he feels like them. They just want to hear it, and they want to hear it more than once or twice a year.
Exactly. And we will continue this conversation tomorrow. We have a special edition of Force Company, I believe, coming up next. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Nick Keys are filling in for Jared. We will be back tomorrow at 11. 1025, 1063, The Game.
Be love on your people. Have a wonderful and blessed Wednesday. Peace.